We're joined in studio by Maxine Crump, president and CEO of Dialogue on Race Louisiana, longtime journalist in her own right, and she was the first African-American woman to live in a dormitory at LSU and one of the first African-American reporters in this area. And good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim.
And she talks about race frequently. And before we get to the scandal in Virginia, when we talk about race, I've been through her 6-week class, Dialogue on Race Louisiana. I missed a few classes, but there is a difference between prejudice and racism. Can you explain how that works?
The reason you even having to ask me that question is because we have a social rhetoric that has kept us, or a narrative that has kept us from knowing and understanding this distinction. Racism was constructed by creating a hierarchy of human value based on how people look and determined that those who were white were superior, and at the bottom has always been those who are black. That has never been dismantled. That created prejudices among the groups and between the groups. And so now racism is blamed on prejudice. And prejudice is really the result of that race construct, that hierarchy of human values.
So in order for something to be racist, you have to have the power of the government behind it. Is that what you're saying?
To be racist, not necessarily. But when it's racism, when there is an institutional backing for what the action is, mm-hmm. Of the Individual Prejudice Act, it is not racism.
It could be a corporate influence.
It doesn't even have to be influence. It can be someone who is illegally taking their prejudice out through an institution. It's still racism, whether the institution knows mm-hmm. it or not. Like the person who wrote the racial slur on the back of someone's ticket when they bought food, that fell on the institution, even though it was an individual mm-hmm. prejudice.
I recall Shirley Chisholm, who I think was the first black person to run for president,
right. So
the congresswoman from New York. She once said that she had more prejudice over being a woman than being black. Do you buy that?
I don't know the relevance of knowing which is more. It's pretty bad to be in the country where that affords freedom for all, and there are women who have to be discriminated against, and there are people because of their color having to be discriminated. And the degree of which is worse, I don't get into.
But you have experienced both?
If we live in America, we've all experienced racism. And if you're a woman in America, you have experienced sexism, because the system is built that way. And it's not that the system is built for women that way. It's just that there has been that social operation, and it has been practiced institutionally to limit women access as well in many levels over time.
All right. 877-217-5757 if you'd like to join the conversation with Maxine Crump. And she is here in the midst of a swirling controversy in Virginia. Today's New York Times writes, Virginia plunged deeper into political turmoil Monday as Governor Ralph Northam told aides he was not planning to step down. His own lieutenant governor suggested Mr. Northam's supporters were behind an effort to smear him with claims of sexual assault to block his ascent if the governor resigned. Dazed lawmakers arriving here for their legislative session said they did not know how much longer Mr. Northam would be governor, or whether Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax, who is black, would replace him amid the growing tensions between the state's top two Democrats, of course, the leaders of that state. Now, this all came about after Mr. Northam was pictured in his medical school yearbook. He said he was pictured, and then he said he was not, but a picture was on his page, his personal page, showing a man in blackface and another man in a Klan outfit. So what do you make of this, Maxine Crump?
When you have a narrative that was shaped and it was tested in the Supreme Court on the Dred Scott case, and it was decided in 1857 that black man had no right in which a white man is bound to respect. When the Supreme Court makes a decision like that, and the rhetoric and the narrative is already being shaped that there's a hierarchy of human value, it becomes common that something like blackface mm-hmm. is practiced. There are twins, the Edwards twins, that have a Las Vegas act where they're wearing blackface, and they're defending it as not blackface. And so a Lafayette station wanted to carry this show, and as a result of one of the reporters being in the Dialogue on Race series, he brought them the information, and they decided that instead of airing the show, they would air a series on blackface, going back to the history of what it really meant, and that it was really meant to demean and black people as entertainment for those who were white.
Well, Ted Danson, the actor, was in blackface many years ago and survived it. He's been thriving as an actor ever since. Didn't seem to have any effect on his career. And now we have a governor who says it's not even him. Of course, he changed his story in a day. But are we becoming more sensitive to these things? And is that a good
thing? More awake. We're becoming more awake. My only concern is that are we waking up as to how horrible blackface is, or are we seeing it as a connection to racism? Because if we don't, then we have to ask ourselves, why are we horrified over it if it's not connected to something more important? 877-217-5757.
Another listener notes that Robert Downey Jr. was in blackface in the movie Tropic Thunder not so long ago. Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. Henry, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Well, good morning, Miss Maxine. Good morning, Mr. Jim. How y'all doing today?
Good morning.
I hate to bring Louisiana into this, but we have a Louisiana angle. If you, Mr. Jim, I'm sure you've got a copy of McGinnis's book, The Last Hayride, laying around there. If you look at the pictures right next to page 91 in that book from 1984, you'll see Mr. Pepe Bruno wearing blackface.
That is correct.
Now, this man is, right today sits on the Louisiana Ethics Commission. Now, he was wearing that ridiculing the Reverend Avery Alexander, who was a friend of mine, and I am very offended by this, and I wish that you and Maxine could discuss that.
All right, and he is exactly right, mm-hmm. and that shows how we have become more aware. Mm-hmm. But should Pepe Bruno, for example, should he be banned from the Ethics Commission? He did something that I think the governor of Louisiana and most others in our state would find reprehensible and did not pay a price for it then. Should he pay the price right now, Maxine Crump?
I think what would be important was if someone brought that to his attention and he had to make a public statement about it. What he would be judged on is what he says about it now. If he defends himself, there's no defense that anyone would accept who believes blackface is wrong and harmful.
And he also was the guy who led the charge not to allow child care expenses to be included as a campaign expense.
Attitudes spread, and they relate to each other.
So if you're prejudiced in one way, you're quite possibly going to be prejudiced in another.
Unless you change.
877-217-5757. We're back after this timeout with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. That is your number if you'd like to join us with our remaining time with Maxine Crump, longtime journalist and president, CEO of Dialogue on Race, Louisiana. Mike in North Baton Rouge. Hi, Mike. You're on the air with Maxine Crump.
Good morning. Over 50 years ago, I think I was born in 1970. Segregation was just, kind of being done away with. Within 50 years' time, the majority of white America voted a black man president, not once, but twice. To win the presidency in America, you have to have the white vote because we are the majority. Nowhere else has this been done in the world. In 50 years, that's how far we've come. As far as racism, Hitler was a racist. I'm prejudiced, and you're prejudiced too, because do you like child molesters? No, I don't think you. I don't like child molesters. I don't care if they're black or white.
All right. I don't know where Mike is going, but do we all have prejudice at some level?
I don't know why that is a surprise to anyone, and I don't think we're talking about all prejudice. I thought you were asking about racial prejudice, and I think blackface is specific to racial prejudice.
And I think most people would agree. Today there's a story that's worldwide about Liam Neeson, the famous actor who was, in his own words, going out to kill a black man because some unknown black assailant attacked a friend of his. And he said he was trolling alleys for a week trying to find a black man to kill. Now, why in the world he would say that, I don't know, but it indicates that all over the world we have this issue, don't we?
Specific to America was the construct of the race hierarchy, where in America, those who were enslaved, the sales pitch to immigrants was that these people are less than human. And that is what has, and that is what was used in the Dred Scott case to say these people don't deserve to be equal to white Americans. That's our issue here in America.
It will be interesting to see. Henry brought up something that I had forgotten, but it is in John McGinnis's book, The Last Hayride, Pepe Bruno in blackface, and he is on the Ethics Commission, and whether or not he should be on the Ethics Commission, having done this in about the same year that the governor of Virginia was doing whatever he was doing. He said he was putting black shoe polish on his face to look like Michael Jackson. And plus, Ralph Northam was a lot younger in 1984 than Pepe Bruno was. Bruno was in his 40s and doing this kind of thing and has paid no price for it. In fact, people, I'm sure, were just laughing like crazy when he was doing this over 30 years ago.
Sure. That was the narrative then. And it was normative. In dialogue, we offer civil discourse, and we offer people an opportunity to look at why we're pointing fingers at each other rather than at systems that were constructed to keep this in place, systems that have not been dismantled. I'm not talking about ending any institution, but the system that was incorporated to allow for the barriers to be against people of color. America has never dismantled that institutional structure. It has only said it's illegal. And in order for it to be activated, someone has to take the institution in particular to court.
Reginald in South Baton Rouge. Hi, Reginald. You're on the air with Maxine Crump.
I'm doing great, Jim. And how you doing, Maxine?
Hi.
Just want to applaud you, you know, for the work that you've been doing so far. I was with that group under Roberta Madden. But a question I have is, have you considered creating satellite groups, discussions to expand the conversation, expand the dialogue? I know through experience that the most effective tool that we have in combating racism is dialogue.
Yes, we do. We have an advanced series, which actually goes over the whole construction of race and how it operates and how race is actually entrenched in land.
877-217-5757 for Maxine Crump. Thank you, Reginald Pitcher. Dan downtown. Dan, good morning.
Morning. And Ms. Crump, what do you make of Clarence Thomas's apparent willingness to allow employers to get away with race discrimination against employees?
Any racial prejudice, and anybody can practice racism. Anybody can practice this system of barriers against people of color. It's not right. But it's not, we're pointing at people a lot, which I get that. I'm saying stopping at just pointing at people without changing the system that promotes and perpetuates this. And our attitudes are also promoting and perpetuating values and policies and practices that systems put in place, because institutions will make their policies and practices around our values. And so we're allowing the system to continue operating the way it does, which we continue in this narrative that ends up being what institutions believe are our values. And so the values become also more prejudicial operations in institutions, therefore backed by power, it becomes racism.
All right. Some emails. Here's one from Ryan Simoneau, who's obviously an avid listener, and we thank you for your listening and for commenting. Says, Maxine Crump, on December 28th, you sent a message to Jim and Methodist minister Chris Andrews.
I did.
And it said, he's quoting me directly. I read your email. He says, or actually it was a text message. This conversation with you and Chris Andrews is totally frustration for me. Two credible voices, two people who I respect and call friends, two voices who have the ears of the public, and you both really need an education on racism. Can you elaborate what you meant concerning this comment?
Yes, I meant that both of you were sounding like, oh, racism's terrible, but if there was something we could do about it, man, but looks like we can't.
Is that what we said?
That's how it sounded.
To you.
Yes, it did.
It may have not sounded like that to other people.
It may not have. Did you want my opinion?
Yes.
I gave my opinion.
Yes, but why did it sound that way to you?
Because of the oh, well. You know, it was like, well, you know, it just sounded like you were just sad that it existed. A construct
normal reaction?
Unfortunately, it has been. But I'm so glad people are waking up and they're finding out that there are things that they can do. For one thing, we can teach the truth in history and K-12 education. If you educate kids in school, you will have people who recognize when they're looking at racism. People don't often know when they're looking at it. But I'll tell you what, people knew when they were looking at a bad call in the New Orleans Saints because they know football. And they need to know their country this way. And they need to feel as empowered as those Saints fans felt to change the whole trajectory of the Super Bowl. And if they had more education and not think that it's so personal only, it would change the trajectory of America, because racism is still being practiced and the impact of past racial barriers are still continuing to show statistics that indicate the problems. Our public defender's office is becoming underfunded, understaffed. Its largest people that it served, 85% are people of color, African Americans in particular. There is something wrong there. And it's easy to point fingers and say, well, these people shouldn't be committing crimes. But there's more to it than that.
We're going to keep Maxine with us through the last part of the show here and have Karen Egedy and John Engelsman with the Lifelong Learning Institute with us tomorrow if things go according to plan, because Maxine, as you can hear, is a compelling guest. Edward in Lafayette. Edward, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. I'm enjoying the show. I understand and appreciate exactly where the young lady's coming from. As an African-American, grew up in the 60s. But my question is, we get upset when white people adorn blackface, but I don't hear any outcry or outrage when African-Americans put on whiteface, such as the movies that have come out, the comedians. So what is the difference?
There has been no setup in this country that has demeaned white people. So I think that's the difference.
Joe Paris writes, Maxine Crump has been my, quote, these are his quotes, my dream girlfriend since I sat directly across from her at WAFB more than 41 years ago. And other than I love you, Max, I want to ask, what's the latest on Georgetown University and the descendants of the slave families that moved to Maringouin, of which you are a member?
There are so many latest. The very latest was I got a message from the Georgetown Memory Project, which is the group that found the descendants or encouraged genealogy, paid for genealogists to find us. And so I got the message that our governor, Henry Johnson, was the governor who was part of negotiating the sale of our ancestors from Maryland. And he also, as a result, negotiated at least donated $40,000, which would be like $2 million now, to a university called, what is the name of the university? Something like Swanee. Something like that.
Former member of the SEC, by the way.
And so now that university is now looking for its slave history and doing a very good job of finding that out.
Well, it is always a pleasure, Maxine. I hope you'll come back. And I like it even when we might disagree a little bit.
Well, but friends do disagree sometimes.
There you go. I like that. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, thank you for listening to Talk Louisiana. For Matt Doyle, I'm Jim Engster. Stay tuned.